take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 25. We'll read verses 1 through 3 together responsively, and we'll read some other verses later in the chapter together as well. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 3 to begin. We'll read this section responsively, and then we'll go to, yet later in the chapter, some other verses here. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Now skip down to verses 15 through 20. We'll read this passage responsibly. I'll start with verse 15 and then we'll read alternately through verse 20. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they that hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, his presence here in this place. Father, thank you for our church. You've done so many wonderful things for us here. And Father, thank you for the men of God that you've given us. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power today. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives so we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Listen to me, if you will, this morning. I'll be honest with you. I hesitated to tell you a story that I will tell you this morning. I struggled trying to figure out whether I ought to even say anything about it, but indeed I will. I'm going to read one verse to you from the passage of Scripture that Brother Bush read with you earlier. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 25, verse number 2, it says, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. That's the title of my sermon today. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. If you're here today and you say, Brother Owens, I feel like life has brought some enemies my way, and I want to help you with that. If you don't feel like life has enemies in store for you right now, believe me, those of you that are younger, you will face enemies in life. You will. Life may not be complicated for you right now, but the day will come when life will become complicated. The day will come when you feel like there are enemies that are trying to keep you from being victorious in life. If you'll listen, I think I can help you. Four times in my ministry has my life been threatened. The first time was when I was in a small town in Indiana called Winchester, Indiana. I would go to the jail every Tuesday, and I would preach. There was an inmate that had been thrown in jail for attempted murder and a variety of other things. I would go in and I would preach, and he had been attending my little jail services, and when it was time for him to go to court in regard to the charges that had been brought against him, he asked me if I would go to court with him and testify on his behalf. He wanted me to be a character witness. I told him I could not and that I would not. As a result of it, the very last night that I was there preaching at that jail service, he had asked me that night, he said, well, are you going to go and testify for me? I need you to come to court as a character reference. And I told him, I mentioned his name, I said, I can't. I just cannot do that. He threw a fit. He became very angry. He started throwing things at the bars, and there were bars between he and I. He reached at me, he tried to grab me, and he said, I'll kill you, I'm going to kill you. Well, I went home that night. I didn't think anything of it. I'm pretty tough when the guy's on the other side of the bars. But I went home that night, and my phone rang about an hour later. And the county police sheriff called and said, Brother Owens, the man that threatened to kill you escaped this evening. He beat up a guard. He overpowered him. Everybody in this place knows the last thing that they heard him say before he left this jail that he was going to kill you. We're going to post a county police officer outside your house all night long tonight. Well, by this point, I couldn't hide it from Mrs. Owens. She figured it out. And there was a county police officer posted outside our home, and they gave us certain instructions. They caught him, for which I was glad, and I'm not dead, which you can tell. Another time, my life was threatened. I had won a older teenage girl to Jesus Christ. She was about 17 or 18 years old. She was in a park. I won her to Jesus Christ and found out later that she was a drug dealer. She came to me in one day, had her purse just full of pills and things, and she said, I've been selling drugs. I've been selling drugs on the street for a long time. She said, I'm saved, and I know I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And she said, I need to know what you think. And I said, you need to get out. You need to go and tell the people you've been selling for that you got saved and that you're done and you're never going to sell drugs again. It wasn't long after that I received a death threat from a drug dealer, and that drug dealer said that he was going to kill me. He said that he was going to blow up my car and my house with my family in it. I remember the fear that I experienced. I won't go into the entire story, but what really ended up happening is that drug dealer, he ended up getting saved. He came to church and started serving God, and again, God helped us to survive the threat of death. Another time, a confused, rebellious teenage boy said that he was going to shoot me and he was going to kill me. It was back near those days when the Columbine incident had taken place, and of course, everybody was trying to be extremely careful when threats like that came at that time, and of course, nothing came of it. Recently, I faced another death threat. The threat came from out of this country. I would be traveling to the mission field, and so you know I've been on the mission field more than one time in the last 3 months. I received a piece of email, and in the email it said that if you come to this country and you preach like you're scheduled to, that we're going to kill you and we're going to kill your family. Well, I really don't like those kind of emails. They have the tendency to give you indigestion and other things. But I'd received the threat. I discussed it with and I hid the threat from my wife. I still to this moment do not know how she found the letter, but she did, and that didn't help things any. She just hates it when people plan to kill me. She wants to be the one. But I received this threat, and I went to another person that I trust with my life, and we talked about it, and we realized that, number one, I could not let them scare me. I can't let people go around dictating whether I go someplace and preach or not, and I was not going to let a terrorist scare me out of doing what needed to be done. We agreed that probably nothing would come of it, but indeed, we talked about Homeland Security and what would happen if I told them, and it'd probably bring attention to the church where I was going, and it would bring needy attention, and that it would probably mess up the services, and so I decided that I would just go and do what I was supposed to do. I told the host pastor what had happened. I told him I didn't want him to tell anybody, but I didn't want anybody to know which hotel I would be staying in, and that only he would transport me back and forth from my hotel to the meeting. I finally, because Mrs. Owens was a touch scared, I finally told one of my kids and asked them to go out and stay at my house for the days that I would be gone to alleviate her fears. I went. I can be honest. I had my fears. I had my concerns. I went from my hotel and I went to the church and I stood and preached and I kind of looked around looking at where the shady character was. But see, this was a Baptist church and everybody there was shady. I looked around and they introduced me and I got up and preached. And I have tried my best to preach every sermon that I preach as if it is my last. I don't know when the last time I'll preach will be, but if it's this morning, I plan to give my best, as if this were my last time. I just decided a long time ago, every sermon I preach will be preached as if it were my last, not my first, but my last. Well, I stood and I preached as if it might be my last. I got done preaching. We had an altar call. People flooded to the altar. The altar was full. I left and I set up a book table where we distribute books and tapes and CDs. And I went to another room where my book table was, and the pastor came to me. Now, the invitation was over with, and I was off in this room. I was a little uneasy because I was there by myself, and the pastor came to me, and he said this. He said, "The person that threatened your life is here. They're here. I just met them, and they have admitted that they are the one that threatened your life." Now, if you listen very carefully, at the end of this message, I'm going to tell you what happened next. But you got to listen careful. Do you face an enemy in your life? These enemies may present themselves in the form of heartaches or burdens. Do you face an enemy? Maybe this enemy is a pain or a heartache inflicted by someone else upon you. I'm sorry that happens, but it does. Or maybe the enemy in your life is self-inflicted. Maybe you have disappointed you. Maybe you have let you down. Maybe you have become your own enemy. And you have soiled you. You may feel like your heartache is about to kill you. You may feel like you're being stalked by the burdens of life. You may feel like your burden is attacking your life and trying to kill you and steal your victory and put your spirit in the grave. If that's the case, I'd like for you to listen to me very carefully this morning as I preach to you a sermon that I've entitled, "Let Not My Enemies Triumph Over Me." Let not my enemies triumph over me. Earlier we read together from Psalm chapter 25. This is a psalm, I think, of David. Notice what David said. He said in verse number 1, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." And let me tell you what's happening here. Believe me, David had his fair share of enemies. He was stalked and hunted. And David comes to God and he says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." It's virtually like this. David came and he said, "God, I'm in a time of heartache and I'm in a time of trial." As if David could place himself on a platter and place the platter in his hands, he lifted his hands to the sky and said, "Lord, I present myself to you. I give me to you." He says in verse number 2, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed." He's saying, "God, I trust you. And don't let that trust bring me to shame." He makes the statement, "Let not mine enemies triumph over me." David says, "Don't let the enemies of my life have victory over me." Now picture it. David says, "Lord, I present myself to you. I'm going to trust you. Don't let that trust bring me to shame. Don't let my enemies beat me, God, please." David's having a conversation with the Lord at the time when he's in distress and he feels hunted and he feels as if enemies are coming down on him. You go to later on in the chapter and you find in verse number 15, he says, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord." And David is saying this, "Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I need to keep my eyes on you at this time in my life." He says, "For he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Now what that means is a net means David felt like there had been a trap set for him. And he feels trapped by his enemies. Whether these enemies are others that have inflicted pain upon David or David had inflicted pain upon himself, which he had done. If you know the story of David, David hurt himself, but others had hurt him. He said, "But I feel like there's a net set for me and my burdens, my heartaches, the enemy is trying to trap me." He said, "The Lord shall pull my feet out of this trap. I just know that He can." He says in verse 16, "For I am desolate and afflicted." What he's saying there is, "I feel beat up and alone." Desolate, alone, afflicted. I'm beat up. I'm injured. In verse 17, he says, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged." He's saying this, "My heart's hurts are abnormally large right now, God. My heart's hurts are swollen and they're magnified. And I just feel the pressure and the pain of my burdens. I'm in distress. I don't think the word distress and stress are identical, but I do believe they're akin to one another. And he's saying, I am under a spiritual stress that I've never experienced before. My heart is swollen and large because of the pain that I face. And he actually says to God, look upon my affliction. And he uses the word pain, know my pain. He actually says, God, it hurts. I don't think anybody understands, God. I hurt. My spiritual heart is swollen from the pain and the load that it bears. And God, I hurt. He says in verse number 19, consider my enemies, they are many. They hate me with a cruel hatred. He said, oh, keep my soul and deliver me, God. That's where we're going, to be delivered. So what David says is, Lord, I present myself to you. I'm going to trust you. Don't let my trust in you embarrass me. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. And I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I feel trapped. But I know you can help me escape. I'm beat up and I'm lonely and my troubles and my heart is swollen. It's so painful and it hurts, God. My enemies are many and they're cruel. Please deliver me, for I put my trust in Thee. Now, let us look at the process that the psalmist goes through. From enemies to deliverance, from pain to victory. How did he survive it? How did he feel at this time when enemies are coming upon him? How did he feel? What did he do? How did he survive it? And somehow, dear ones, if David survived it, then if we can just figure out what happened to him, maybe we could survive it too. And listen very carefully. I want you to see the humanity of David. And I also want you to see that's what is written in this old black book. It is written by a God that understands your heart. He understands your affliction. He put this in here. Indeed, it's a story of David, but it's a book written by God about David and God. And so God knows what you're going through. Listen as God peeks into the heart of those that feel afflicted. They feel as if they have enemies coming upon them, and they feel weighed down and pressured by the enemies of life. Let's see what God says here. First of all, David said, Lord, I present myself to you. Take me, Lord. I'm yours. I'll tell you all something. There are people all across this auditorium who have never come to the point in your life where you say, I'm yours. You're saved. That means you are His. But have you ever, totally, without reserve, turned to God, handed yourself to God and said, God, I've trusted you as Savior, but I want more than that. I'm presenting all of me to you. I'm presenting myself to you like a piece of meat on a platter. Here, God, do what you will with me. God, I'm giving you me. I'm giving you my will. I'm giving you my mind. I'm giving you my body. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm giving you my hidden desires. I hold back none of me. God, I need you, and I want you to know that you have all of me. My life, Lord, is yours to control. There's a song. It goes, with my whole heart, I humbly seek you. Now use my life, O Lord, I pray. I yield my stubborn will completely. May your commandments light my way. My life, Lord, is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I'll seek your will, never mine. Rich treasures to find. Give wisdom to choices I make. Along every path that I take. So when I complete life's race, well done, you will say. David felt the pressure of an enemy. He said, the first thing I need to do is I've got to present myself to God and say, God, I am yours. Take me. I don't just want you as my Savior. I want you to take all of me, my mind, my heart, my future, and everything. Take me, Lord. I'm yours. That's where David started. Why? He said, I don't want my enemies to triumph over me. The next thing David says here, and my second point is this, he says, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. What's he saying? I believe you're God. I'm not just going to use God's name from time to time. I believe in the name of the God that I serve. I believe He is God. He is what He says He is. I believe you know what's best, God. I'm going to trust you. I trust whatever you choose for me. I've given you me. Now I trust you with what you want to do with me. I gave you my will. Now I'll trust you with my will. I gave you my mind. Now I will trust you with my mind. I gave you my body. Now I will trust you with my body. I gave you my heart. Now I will trust you with my heart. I gave you my dreams. Now I will trust you with my dreams. I gave you my hidden desires, God. Now I will trust you with those desires. I will trust your word, God. I will trust the preaching of your word, God. I will trust your man, God. I will trust your will, not my will. I will trust your mind, not my mind. I will trust your plans, not my plans. I will trust your word, not my logic. I will trust you over me. Even when I don't understand, I will trust that you do understand what I'm going through. Even when I can't see what you're doing in my life, I'll trust that you can see what you're doing in my life. God, I'm giving you all of me. And I'm going to trust you to do what you want with me. You see, David was facing enemies. And he wanted to survive it. He just knew he was safer in the hands of God than in his own hands. He said, so I'm giving you, tuck me in your pocket, God. Keep me safe. Talk about good body armor. When you're wrapped in the everlasting arms. I'm going to trust you. He said, I present myself to you. I'm going to trust you. Thirdly, he said this. He says, don't let my trust in you bring me to shame. Don't let my trust in you bring me to shame. Let me tell you something. You see, anybody who has not given themselves over to Him completely lives with a fear of embarrassment. This because they spend more time worried about what people think of them than what God thinks of them. So they worry about being embarrassed or shamed if they go all the way for God. There are people in this room, you've never given yourself over to God, and part of it is your fear of man. You say, what will happen? What will people think? Will I be ashamed? Am I going to be shamed when I go all the way for God? For me to give myself completely and to trust Him, He may have me do some things that my old friends will laugh at and they'll mock me. There's some of you, you do not move forward for God because you fear the shame that might come upon you because of your worldly friends and your worldly family. But I'm telling you, if you want the protection of God, you need to present yourself. You need to trust Him. And you need not be ashamed of serving God. God has never shamed me for my faith in Him. I've never felt ashamed for my stand for God. Hey. Did God shame little David when God told David to fight great Goliath with a slingshot and a couple little pebbles? Did David walk away ashamed? No, it is a historical story from the Bible that even the smallest child knows about. And David walked away But he was not ashamed. Did God shame Joshua at the Battle of Jericho when he used no weapons but merely marched around the city 7 times? Was he shamed because of his stand for God? Oh, not at all. He went down in history as a mighty captain. Did God shame Gideon when he went to war, outnumbered by tens of thousands, and he told him that his weapons would be lamps, pitchers, and a shout, the sword of the Lord? Did God shame Gideon? Oh, no. Let me testify. I've been serving Him for 30 years in my life. I've been preaching for 30 years. Never one time has God shamed me when I stood with and for God. The reason you fear is because you've never totally given yourself to Him. Because those of us have given ourselves to Him, we've never been shamed. We can stand and testify like a mighty army. Give yourself to Him totally. There's no shame in serving God. And even if there was, it would be worth every bit of it because He was shamed for you. David said, I've got an enemy. I think they want to destroy me. What am I going to do? I think the first thing I'll do is I'll place myself in the everlasting arms. I'm giving myself totally to You. I'm holding back nothing. Then I'm going to trust what You do with my life. And he said, but Lord, don't let me come to shame on this thing. But I say to you, God won't shame you. God won't shame you. The problem is you shame yourself when you don't trust Him. Your greatest embarrassments of life, Your greatest shames in life are going to be produced by you when you don't do what He said. It's when you don't obey Him. You shame yourself, but God won't shame you. Your reputation is safe in His hands, not in yours. Let me tell you, number 4, David said, don't let my enemies triumph over me. Don't let these enemies get me. Don't let them get me down. He said, otherwise, what could these enemies be? Well, I kind of thought through this thing, and I thought, maybe when it talks about enemies, maybe it's the enemy of your past. There are things that we do and we've done in years gone by, and there are people in here, and you say, Brother Owens, my past seems to be my enemy. It tries to choke me. It tries to kill me. Hey, listen, you need to say like David did, I don't want the enemy of my past to triumph over me. Maybe it's the enemy of your fears. And people here have different types of fears. You need to say like David did, I don't want the enemy of my fears to triumph over me. Maybe it's the enemy of your own personal character flaws. Some people just struggle keeping their commitment, doing what they said they would do, being where they were supposed to be. They seem to fail at keeping their commitments in life, and their integrity is weak. But I say to you, you need to say, God, I've got this enemy of my character flaw, but I don't want it to triumph over me. Maybe it's the enemy of my sins. And let me tell you something. Sin is very persuasive. Sin makes itself very attractive. And if you're not careful, sin will lead you down a path. When you get to the end of your journey, you'll find out that sin was deceptive and sin was a liar. What you thought was going to be the result, it'll be far worse and it'll hurt more. And you'll have pain deeper than you ever dreamed. And you may need to say, oh God, my enemy is my own personal sin. But let not my sin triumph over me. Maybe there are human enemies. I don't know. Maybe it's the enemies of your past failures. As life lures you to defeat, while God would lure you to victory. Nobody who's saved wants to get beat by their enemies. Everybody here that's born again has a Spirit of God living within them. And that Spirit of God wants you so desperately to rise up and say, let not my enemies triumph over me. I don't want to get beat. I don't want to stay down. I want to get up and do something for God. The Holy Spirit of God within you is going to spark that kind of hope in your life. He does not want to stay secluded. He does not want to be pressured into a corner. He wants you to have triumph over your victory or over your enemies. He doesn't want your enemies to triumph over you. And you can have victory. You can have it. What's happened here? David said, I have enemies. I present myself to you. I'm giving myself to you, and I'm going to trust you. And I'm not going to be ashamed of trusting you. I'm going to step out, and I want you to use me, God. He said, I don't want my enemies to triumph over me. And then he said, I'm going to keep my eyes on you, Lord. He said, I'll keep my eyes on you. He said, I gave myself to you just a little bit ago, and it's going to stay that way. I will not let this decision be an emotional one that I make today and tomorrow. I'm back to the same old me. Let me tell you something. It's time for some of you to make Him the Lord of your life and leave it that way. Oh, pain has come my way. God, help me. I'm turning to you. And He runs to your aid and He heals your life and He protects you. And 2 weeks later, you're not back. You're not back in church where you ought to be. You've forgotten all about the lifeguard that saved you from going under because all you needed was somebody to run to your aid for a moment. You didn't really commit yourself to Him. It's time for some of you to decide, I am going to serve God with the rest of my life. This is not a decision for today. It's not a decision during the tornado of life. It is a decision whether the weather's good or bad, whether I'm up or down, hot or cold. I'm serving God with my life. There's a security that comes by saying, this is the decision I've made. He's my God. I have given myself to Him. I trust Him. I'll not be ashamed. And it's not an emotional thing with me. God, it's a commitment from the depth of my integrity. I'm sticking with it. I'm trusting You and continuing it. In other words, I'll not let this decision be one today, but I'm gone tomorrow. I'll keep my eyes on You, He said. I'll keep myself in church where I belong and stop making up excuses. I will keep my eyes in the Bible. I will keep myself on my knees. I will keep my eyes off of the world, off of my friends, off of my desires, off of myself, and I will keep the decision to have You as my God 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year. God, I am Yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. You know what? There's some protection tucked in here somewhere. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Number 6, David said, I feel trapped. I feel trapped. But I know You can help me. My sin makes me feel trapped. But God, I think You're my way out. Let me tell you something. The devil, he is so smart. The devil is so persuasive. And look this way and listen to me very carefully. What you do is you go out and you get yourself in a mess. And you sin. And you sin against God. And you feel like you sever your relationship with God. And the devil begins to convince you that you can't be used by God again. The devil begins to convince you that you're far enough away from God that nobody's really going to care about you. Nobody's really going to love you. You've messed up your family. You've messed up your future. You messed up your service to God. And the devil says, you might as well forget about it. Hey, you don't have anybody to attach yourself to anymore. And that's exactly how the devil is. And David came and he said, I feel like they've thrown a net for me. I'm trapped. And is there any way out? That's exactly what sin will do to you. Sin will make you want to throw in the towel. Sin will make you say, oh, there's no way out of this. I've blown it. It's over. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. May I say to you, the devil may set a snare, and he may catch your foot in that snare, but God can come along and release you. God can still use you, and you've heard me say this before. If you're still breathing air, that means the God of the universe has a purpose for your life. He would kill you if He wanted to take you on to heaven. If you were no longer useful, He would do that. But if you're still alive, God has a purpose for your life. My past makes me feel trapped. Am I ever going to overcome my past? God can give you victory over your past. My friends make me feel trapped. I'm in a snare. I'm netted by relationships I should not be in. Hey, you have a better friend in Jesus Christ because you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, a real friend would not encourage you to be in the drugs and the sex and the rock and roll and all the filth of the world. A real friend would want you to be close to your God, and you have a friend in Jesus Christ. I feel trapped in my relationships. I feel trapped in my sin. I feel trapped with my past. My own weaknesses make me feel trapped, Brother Owens. I've tried. I've sincerely tried to overcome my own personal weaknesses. What am I going to do? You may feel trapped by those weaknesses, but let me guarantee you, there is strength in the arm of the Lord. Between you and God, you can do this. Do you see the humanity of David here? You see him admitting. He's admitting, he said, I feel a bit trapped. Whatever these enemies are, and I'm not sure what they were. Whatever the enemy was, David said, I feel a bit trapped, but I think you can get me out of the trap, Lord. So what's he said to us so far? David said, Lord, I know one thing I'm going to have to do. I've got to get myself to you. And Lord, I'm giving myself to you. I'm holding back nothing. And then I'm going to trust you. Not only am I going to trust you, I'm not going to, I don't want to be shamed by it, Lord. And I'm not going to be ashamed that I've given myself to you. I don't want my enemies to triumph over me. And this isn't an emotional decision just today. Dear God, I am going to serve you from now on. I'm not just asking you like an emergency medical technician to get me out of this jam this time. I'm saying, God, I'm in for the duration. I'm sticking with you. This is the decision that is going to be lasting. And he says, I feel trapped. But I think you're the answer. I think you're the one to get me out of this trap. And then David says, God, I feel beat up and lonely. But I know you care. You say, Brother Owen's life has taken its toll on me. I am emotionally wounded. My sin has scarred me. My heart bleeds from the attacks of life. My back feels broken from carrying the heavy load of my burdens. Nobody seems to really understand the pain that I feel. I feel a bit forsaken. I feel a bit alone. I feel betrayed by the human race. I feel lonely and full of fear. Let me tell you something. If you feel forsaken by every human being alive, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is there. He's there. He has not forsaken you. The devil may want to lie to you. But let me tell you something. Your God is there and your God cares. He knows you feel beat up. And David's admitting to it. He said, God, he said, look, I'm afflicted and I'm in pain. And I'm wondering if anybody cares. I feel like my life, I feel destitute. I feel like I'm all alone. But God knows and God cares. Number 8, David said, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. But God, you are larger than my troubles. You see, you say, what I face seems to be more than I can bear. My problems are bigger than me, Brother Owens. You know, God brings problems into your life that are bigger than you so you can discover how big He is. The only problems that ever came in your life were problems that you could handle. You'd walk around with your arrogant pride thinking, I solved that. I'm smart enough to take care of that. Look how I handle that. I got me an education. Look what I did. There are going to become times in your life when you're going to be humbled to your knees and the only way to look is straight up. There are going to be times when you're going to wonder, is there any hope at all for tomorrow? And you're going to look up and God's going to say, I'm the only one that can do it. You're either coming to me or it's not happening. Because He is God. He'll bring you to your knees, you cocky, arrogant, full of pride Christian that thinks you can do it all on your own. I've been in fundamental Baptist churches all my life. God may humble you all the way down to where you're crawling on your belly in the dirt saying, oh God, and He said, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for you to break down and realize you need me. He said, I don't want to go through that. It'd be good for you. It'd be good for you to build a relationship with an all-knowing, all-powerful God who has patience with your arrogance. The troubles of my heart, he said, are enlarged. Let me tell you something. There are times when we feel like the troubles of life are just so, that they've swollen and they're multiplied. I promise you something. God never places a burden in your life that He will not give you the wherewithal to sustain that burden. Our God is a fair God. He said, Brother Owens, I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can take it. I think He can. Because it is God that determines your strength if you'll accept the strength He gives you. You can make it. He said, Brother Owens, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just take care of today. His mercies are new every morning. You make it through today and God will give you the strength for today. Tomorrow we'll wake up and we'll serve the same God that helped us through yesterday. But for today, take the burden of today. You can make it. Number 9, God said, or David says this, He actually cries out. He said, God, my pain, I hurt. He uses the word pain there. I hurt. But you're the hurt healer, God. That's why David's come to God. He said, I'm hurting. I'm beat up. Either a self-inflicted enemy or another enemy's come upon me and I don't know what to do. How am I going to survive it? How am I going to make it? How can I take it? He said, and God, I want to remind you, I'm hurting. I have pain. God, it hurts. My pain is deep. My heart aches. My spirit is bleeding within me. Life has been cruel. I wonder how many times I've sat in my office and sitting across the desk from me is someone who their voice quivers. They don't have to say any words when the tears begin to run down their face because the tears say it all. And the tears say, Brother Owens, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can take this burden. Well, let me tell you, my friend, Jesus cares and He knows. He has not forsaken you. He'll take care of you. Life so often is cruel. But life brings heartaches and hurts. But He is the great hurt healer. And David says this. He says, I'm trusting You to deliver me, God. Now, face the process here. He said, Lord, I'm trusting You to deliver me. I'm going to need You. Now, here's what's happened. David comes and he says, God, like a piece of meat on a platter, I give myself to You. Everything. I'm not playing anymore. I'm coming. I'm getting real. And God, You know the inside of me. I'm not just going to fake out the people at the church for a little while and come by and wave religiously to everyone. I'm in. I'm serving You. You've got me. And Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You from here on out. And Father, I'm not going to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. Don't let shame come upon me. I fear it a bit, but don't let it come upon me. I know You won't let my enemies triumph over me. I don't want them to triumph over me. I'm going to keep what I'm saying. I'm not just making an emotional decision today. Oh no, I'm hurting right now and I know, but You brought me to this hurt and allowed this hurt because You wanted me to need You. And I do, but I don't want to just need You today. I'm going to need You in fair weather as well as foul weather. That's a decision. He said, I feel trapped, but I know You can get me out of this trap. I feel beat up, but I know You're the healer. My troubles have swollen my heart and I almost wonder if I can take it, but I know You're a fair God and I can take it with Your help. God, it hurts, but You're the healer. And Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. And may I say to you that anybody that goes through that process and says, Lord, deliver me, He will. Guaranteed. It's written in the book.
Yes, sir.
My God's no liar. He'll deliver you. I said to the pastor, I said, don't tell anybody what hotel I'm staying in. My wife said, honey, you need to call me often while you're gone. I said to the pastor, I said, I don't want anybody to know. I said, I don't want to mess up the services. I preached the sermon. An altar call came. The altar was full. I went to my book table, standing there alone, a bit fearful. The pastor came and said, the person that threatened your life is here. He said, but the ones they would like to see you. And I don't, brother. God gave me faith. Faith in my feet. I was ready to run. And then He said, Brother Owens, you're not going to believe it. that came forward in the altar call. They got on their knees at the altar. They went to apologize to you.
Man.
The person approached me and said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I've gotten with a bad crowd. And we sent a threatening letter. But tonight, God spoke to my heart. I want you to know it's okay." I said, "I want you to pick some things off my table and take them as gifts and go home and listen to them. And thank you for talking with me." I finished my night. I went back to my hotel room. And I said, "Once again, you've let not my enemies triumph over me. Oh, my God, thank you for the protection." Christian, he's your God too. I wish he were real to you. Some of you are losing the protection of God in your life. Oh, you ought to want to gain it. And I've given you the process that David went through. He started with enemies. He ended with victory and deliverance. It's available to you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can highly recommend Him. You see, the promise that I've given you here today is for saved people. I'm not talking about religious people. I'm talking about people that realize, number one, that they're sinners. And that because of their sin, they deserve to go to hell. But Jesus Christ came, born of the Virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years in this life. He died for those sinners. He was buried for those sinners. He was resurrected for those sinners. You see, you're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. But Jesus came and sacrificed Himself for sinners. That's you. There had to have been a time in your life where you turned to Christ, understanding what I just explained about Jesus, and you asked Him to come into your heart and save you and take you to heaven someday. And if you've never done that, this promise is not for you. The promise of victory with enemies. But if you'll get saved, He'll be your God. He'll be your provider of watch care. If you're here today and you're not saved, I recommend that you get saved today. If you're here and you're saved, you say, "But the ones I need God's watch care. The enemies of life have come upon me." Whether they're self-inflicted, inflicted by another, you feel the enemies of life chasing you, then you do what David did. Present yourself to Him. Trust Him. Don't make it just an emotional thing. Hold back nothing. He knows about your fears and your heartache and He knows about all of that. Trust Him. He'll deliver you, Christian.